Jeremy House. A Michigan electric utility plans to go coal-free by the year 2040. Consumers Energy will phase out electricity production from coal, planning to generate 40% of its power from renewable sources like wind and solar by that time. The utility says it will also rely on natural gas, hydropower, and improved efficiency to meet the needs of its customers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, it's Tuesday. Is on assignment this morning. 5.5 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, and the news, as always, is brought to us by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Newly remodeled, same great service, same great walk-in humidor. Doesn't get any better than that. Good morning, everybody. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. I'm here with Bad Bob.
And good morning, Carl. Hard freeze warning, in case you missed it. 31 degrees currently in downtown, but because of the very dry air and the light winds, it feels on your skin like about 26. Downright chilly out there, but temperatures will begin to increase. We'll see a high today of about 52 degrees. Some clouds moving in, and as we look later in the week, we will have partly cloudy skies. First chance of rain is, and it's not a very terribly promising one, next Monday.
I thought Thursday or something, as I'm sitting here yawning.
A 20% chance it has rolled back to. So this is not a terribly wet storm, this series. We will be experiencing, so your outdoor plants, there was a story last night about people who in mid-February ran to all the nurseries, wanted to get a jump on the growing season, and bought all kinds of bare root trees and things like that. Now, of course, they're having to tent them up and protect them and all that so they don't lose their plants. It's not a good idea to put anything in the ground before, last week of March.
I'm still trying to figure out what a bare root plant is.
Yeah. Well, it's one that comes in a bucket, and you just dig a hole and drop the thing in it,
Oh.
That's a bare root plant.
So because
the roots are bare.
Okay, so, well, they're not. They're surrounded by dirt.
Yes, but the dirt falls off as soon as you pull it out of the pot.
And then you put it in the ground.
Then you put it in the ground, yes.
And then it'll freeze. Because how far down does the freeze go?
We don't have anything like a frost line here. What I noticed, though, these tulip trees and a lot of these plants that budded out early really took a hit. And there are concerns to the south of us for the almond crop.
The almonds?
The almonds, yes.
Okay. Hey, the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793 discounts for seniors and veterans. A veteran-owned business there that has won so many awards, and one of them for hiring veterans. Chuck and Judy Kinney out there. A lot of things going on. Work's begun on the Seven Bridges subdivision. Did you see that? This guy's been a partner of Jeb Allen's over there, Palomar Builders for a while. So he's putting up 126 homes. They're going to sit on both sides of Oasis Road, east of Interstate 5.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
On Oasis out there, east of Interstate 5.
Well, there is such a shortage of single-family homes right now, and of course it's being exacerbated by the fact that if you want to put a shovel in the ground in California, you'd be prepared to pay.
Lowe's is going to have a national day of hiring. This is going to be tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you're looking for seasonal work or if you're a plumber, if you have all different types of skills, I have a feeling that, when you say seasonal, that if you're really good at what you do, it's going to turn into full time. Apply in store or online at Lowe's.com/careers. It's going to be down, of course, on Cypress Avenue. And then REU. REU is... they're trying to comply with the requirements of state law REU and larger electric utilities in the state are required to adopt an integrated resource plan that lays out a long-term roadmap of electric resource needs, including its own electric generation resources, rooftop solar, or other small-scale generation located on a customer's property. So they're looking, they want to come in, and they want people to come in and talk to them about what they need, what are some of the things they want to see. And this is going to be Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., you know, during lunchtime, so you can get down there at the Reading Library. You know, we'll talk about that a couple more times. It's not a bad idea. Okay. It seems like, you know, have you been watching the Olympics at all?
Just a little bit. I've watched some of the highlights when I was over at my mom's
house. The ratings are tanking. But we didn't, you know, we watched it when it first started and all this. But now, I mean, nobody was watching it. And it looks like the ice dancers. We had ice dancers. These guys have been practicing for years. They were world champions, you know, the Americans. And they've been really, they really were up there. Toward the end of the routine, they did this twirl. They've probably done probably 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Their skates clicked. They got too close. Their skates bounced off each other, the blades. Down she went. And he went down, you know, on top of her. So, and then the other one, at the very last, dropped on her hands and knees, got back up.
Yeah.
These two American teams. You know, our skating teams this year have, I'm proud of them. I'm deeply proud of them. But they just haven't hit it like they have before. Chan, who is 18 years old, and if you ever listen to this young man talk, he is so articulate. He is he's 18. He's got all these people around him. He's the best in the world or has been, and he falls like three times during his routines. He takes it. He doesn't show any emotion. I shouldn't say that. He did show emotion, but he doesn't let it get to him. He knows he's a great skater, and he's 18. He knows he'll be back, but it's just our team this year, and I don't know what it would be, except that I noticed that a lot of people were falling there on the ice. So I'm not sure if it's the stress or the pressure on it. But it's not just the American teams. But then again, you had a couple of other teams that were just. You think, gosh, these guys are good, you know, the American teams. And they are. They're really good. They're medalists, you know. But then you see the best, and you go, oh, 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 these guys, you know, oh, my God. So, I mean, but I haven't watched the Olympics in like two days. And now maybe it's just because I don't ski. But they have this, then when they have some of these, like the short track racing in the skates, these guys are tough. I mean, they are bashing each other. It looks like roller derby on ice. But
even growing up, I preferred to watch like the bobsleds and the skeleton and the luge and all that. You know.
I tell you what, the skeleton.
That's fun to watch.
The skeleton. A guy goes 90 miles an hour down a track, face down on a little bitty. It looks like a little Teflon kid skate. You know,
it's like a mechanic's creeper.
Yeah, and there is. And the only way they slow down or adjust things is he puts his toe down for a little bit, but he can't put it down too much. It'll lose too much speed. So here they come down this track at 90 miles an hour. I mean, it's in, you know, you know the luge where you've got your feet first. This is your head first.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're streamed like you're like Captain Rocket when you're flying like this. So, yeah, there are some. Now, the big thing, of course, is the curling, as we discussed the other day. You weren't in here the other day, but Connor Sutton, our sports announcer, has gotten really into curling. And it has nothing to do with the Russian woman who looks like Angelina Jolie, a young Angelina Jolie. But one of the Russian teams got caught for doping in curling. Now, wait a minute. This is curling. This isn't like your biathlon. You guys are up there going 10,000 meters, and you're just pumping and pumping and pumping. This is curling. This is when they kind of like kneel on the ice, and they kind of like – it's like shuffleboard.
Use the little broom. Yeah.
And you use a little broom, but I don't see where – I just don't quite understand where you know, given this guy, you know, the type of drugs he was given for curling. But now they're saying, well, we're not sure. It just seems kind of – seems kind of strange. He's been given these kind of drugs. So now they're going to go back and look at his other tests that he's got. Maybe he just produces a lot of whatever this stuff is in his body. But I can't imagine that just, you know, you're steroiding up or whatever you're doing to a guy that's curling.
Yeah, because that's more of a strategy and timing event than raw power.
Like, I mean, can they get any slower? It's like watching aardvarks or something move down the highway or you know what, the sloths in the trees. They're kind of like...
it is a finesse game.
Yes, I'm not taking anything away from the sport, but I don't see where you would have to pop, you know, things into your body to be able to compete in this game.
Speaking of biathlon, for many, many years, the Americans had a woman biathlon champion, and she went to like 8 Olympics or something. Like, it was crazy.
Wow. Because she was the best the Americans had.
Yeah, but they won't even mention biathlon, except in just brief passing, and almost as if they're ashamed to use the word.
Well, they were showing it. They were showing it.
Were they?
It. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. They had parts of it. It wasn't like they gave a lot to it, but, I mean, you think about it. This sport is extremely tough, and it's one thing to be, you know, to be skiing, but then to stop and shoot a .22 rifle, bolt action.
It looks like a prop out of Star Wars.
Yeah, because of the way, because of the harness you have to wear.
Yeah.
But, and you're having to shoot when your heart rate's like 185. Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. And while you're standing there. And then as soon as you hit it, it's immediate. You know, I mean, it turns, you shoot it to target, it turns white. Shoot target, turns white. Shoot target, doesn't turn white. You know, you've missed.
Hmm.
Jeez. Okay, hey, we're going to take a break here. We've got Mr. Allen on today, who is, I think it's Travis Allen, who's coming on today, that is running for governor on the Republican side. He's going to give us a call probably around 8:15, probably about an hour from now. We'll have him on for an hour, 45 minutes, or 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever we can stay in there, and see what his plans are, see what he thinks, where he'd like to see California going, one. And then we need to kind of like, you know, and it's one of these things that you need to think about is what is the chance of, I mean, in the future of a Republican actually making it into the final election?
Oh, that is so rigged.
And not two Democrats. I'm not sure. Hey, this portion of the show, though, is brought to you by talking about something that's not rigged, something that is working, and that's Cornerstone Community Bank. Opened up their newest branch there at 1845 California Street, extended hours. Drive-through hours, they've got it all at Cornerstone Community Bank. Why don't you head on down there and experience how they're moving local dreams forward. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back after these messages.
Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
On Friday, March 9th, at the new Sheraton Reading Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, the Trade School is hosting the Electricians Ball 2018, an elegant evening of dining along with the Craftsman's Art Auction. This fundraiser supports scholarships and technology upgrades. Please help us create rewarding career opportunities in the skilled trades. Millions of jobs are waiting. Our young people deserve a prosperous future. Visit ShastaBE.com/events and register or call 221-5556. All are welcome.
The Trade School, the Shasta Builders Exchange. Train, build, succeed.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
This is Tracy Edwards, and we would like to invite you to Glitz and Glamour at Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino's Year to Remember Roaring 20s, Saturday, March 3rd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards, presentation, and silent auction. Celebrate the 70 organizations that received funds in 2017, with one organization receiving an additional gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund. Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino's Glamorous Roaring 20s, Saturday, March 3rd. For event information, please call 242-4516.
Skip that siesta or you'll miss the fiesta. Head on over to Tortilla Flats on Park Marina Drive, a friendly cantina with pretty senoritas that serve up dishes that taste as good as they look. The choices are endless. Enchiladas rancheros, fajita or chili verde burritos, chicken or beef piccata. Try our mouthwatering seafood enchiladas or burritos served with Tortilla Flats' own Spanish white cream sauce. All this and more served 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Dinners are served with beans, rice, albóndiga soup, or salad and complimentary chips and salsa. Tortilla Flats is a perfect place to end your day. Our popular happy hour is 4 to 6 p.m. with $2 tacos, half-off appetizers, and daily drink specials. Tortilla Flats even has a private party room for groups up to 30. Call for details. The next time you crave Mexican food, try Tortilla Flats, Redding's oldest Mexican restaurant where we serve the best margaritas in town. Tortilla Flats, 2800 Park Marina Drive, 1 mile south of the Sundial Bridge, where the fiesta never ends.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure, 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Redding.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, on assignment to this morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heated and Air. In business over 25 years, voted best in the North State. They are the best in the North State. If you're looking for anybody to handle your HVAC, your heating, or your cooling systems, call Alliance Heating and Air at 221-2642 because here it is, extremely cold this morning. It was extremely warm last week. I don't know. Air conditioning last week, in here we did because of all the machinery we have. But then, it's 20 degrees in now. So, and you know what, Sue McLean, our news director, she does it all here, and she just brought me a cup of coffee because she saw I was dying out here. So, Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642, or check their website out at homecomfort.org. These are the ones I recommend. I mean, I just totally without reservation.
They did all right by me. I hear my system fire up in the morning. We have one of those Nest thermostats that automatically adjusts to your lifestyle. And at 4:45, everything fires up to start warming up the house so I don't get out of bed and go,
because we keep the house. And don't go what?
Well, you've gotten out of bed and your feet have hit that floor and it's like, oh,
I've rolled out of sleeping bags and my feet have hit the snow. And it's been like, oh, man.
This is not good.
This is another great day. You know, this was in July in the mountains. In the mountains at Bridgeport, we were up doing mountain warfare training. And this day we were climbing. So we were up there. And we set it in a little base camp. And, yeah, you know, this is back in the days when you had these shelter halves.
Yeah,
probably before your time, maybe.
I recall seeing.
But you know, these are the kind of had like World War II in Korea. So we were putting them up, and got in your sleeping bag, your mummy bag. And the next morning, it felt like inside the tent, but it felt pretty good inside the tent. And then you open it up, and there's like 6 inches of snow. The snow had insulated around. But we were supposed to be climbing that day. You know, on rappel, you know, guys climbing, you know, putting in chocks and all those kind of things. We didn't do it that day. And this was like in July.
Yeah. Well, every year, some folks get caught up on Shasta, you know. They'll get up there, the weather will come in, and then they have to go pluck them off the mountain.
Okay. Did you see this coming? I did. I mentioned it on the show when we started talking about doing away with lead shot for hunting, which is going away in the next year or two. I said, well, I wonder how long it's going to take them to go after the lead weights for fishing.
Oh, you know it.
Well,
it's cruel to the fish.
California lawmaker wants to ban lead weights when you're fishing. You knew it was coming. There's been no tests. There's no scientific proof. No studies. Just a feeling that if there's lead in the water, it can't be good for those fish. They're probably just eating it. And, you know, in those streams, those ducks are eating the lead. And, frankly, it seems to me as if, are fish eating lead? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Do fish eat? I mean, do they go down or suck up blood? This one guy's fishing out at Lake Shasta. Says, well, you know, I've been fishing here 37 years. And he says, I just can't imagine how much lead might be at the bottom of this lake, you know, from people fishing. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a foregone conclusion that's going to happen. I mean, there's stuff out there you can use. Like the fly shop doesn't use lead in any way. They use a titanium type of paste or putty, not paste, but a putty that sticks on to the lines, and they don't use lead at all. But it's just a matter of time. The difference between lead weights and the other kind of weights is one's $2.35, the other one's $7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now the way I fish, I could go through that $7 weights really fast, probably. I have a tendency to hang up on everything. So
I have a question.
Okay. The state of California, one more time, coming at you.
This emphasis that we must make it nearly impossible for private citizens to get their hands on certain classes of firearms. Some people want it to be all classes of firearms. As long as there has been an American culture, firearms have been a part of that American culture from the first time we stepped off those, our ancestors stepped off those ships facing a new frontier. As we expanded westward, every ranch, every farm, every kid knew how to handle properly a firearm. In World War II, we sent a bunch of farm kids who had grown up with firearms overseas and kicked butt. So the firearms have been a constant in our society.
It's not firearms.
What is the variable? And the variable is society itself.
Yeah, society's changed. Okay, you know, I read a letter to the editor where it said the Second Amendment did not consider mass shootings or something to that word. You know, the Second Amendment, when it was built, the framers of the Constitution could not envision mass killings. I think they're wrong. I think the framers of the Constitution,
matter of fact, they did.
They all had been in. They'd been in war. They knew what war was. They knew what mass killing was.
They knew what happened.
The fact is, they also are men, and they were men of, you know, you could have called them futurist. Were they right in everything, you know, about slavery? No, but they were men who looked at something that was going to last forever, and they wrote it in such a way that it has lasted forever, though people want to change it. And the part about it just infuriates people, of course, is the part about the Second Amendment that says we can own guns. We can own firearms. And so there's, but not this kind of firearm. Well, no, it didn't say that. It didn't say every firearm, but. And it didn't say you could only have one. It didn't say you could only have a handgun. And people need to realize something here. And we're going to talk about it more after we get back from the break. But you've got to look at the cause of the shootings, not the tool. Not the tool. I mean, yeah, you've got people driving, you know, trucks down and killing dozens and dozens of people. Yeah, but it's different. Well, it's not. It's the person that's doing this. You know, I talked about yesterday blaming the Mosleys, who have a wonderful business and wonderful wine. And if somebody buys buys two bottles or three bottles of their great wine, and they go out and drink them all and go out in a car or a truck and slam into a bunch of people standing someplace, it's not the Mosley's fault. I'm sorry. It is not the Mosley's fault at all in any way. They didn't sell something to a drunk. They didn't do that. They sold three bottles of wine. The guy chose, the person chose. I'm not saying this happened. Okay, back up, everybody. This is not happening. I'm saying, what if? I'm talking about a very respected people, very respected business, and that they sell the product of their business, however, can result in, if it's abused, can result in death. If it's abused, but it's not the Mosley's fault. It is no more the gun's fault for these people being killed than it is Budweiser for selling a six-pack of beer from Raley's.
There's to me, there is no there. You know, there's there. You can't tie them together, because the real reason people are dead is because of the person holding that tool, driving that car, holding that gun. So the question now becomes, how do you prevent people from driving the car when they're drunk? Or, especially if they've been arrested for several times for DUI, or the person holding the gun from shooting?
I would point out that legislation is not an answer, because, by golly, heroin has been illegal for how long? And yet, go take a walk along the beaches of Whiskey Town or along the river.
For the most, yeah, and I understand what you're saying there. It's, you know, just because it's against the law, it's like gun-free zones. There's no such thing. But there are things that are in common with these shooters. There are things. We're trying to have Dr. Richard Milwaukee, who wrote that great article on sociopaths, trying to get him on Friday. But there's some other things that I've read and I've done some studies on that I want to talk about when we get back. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is a extremely successful gun dealership, firearms dealership, right here in Reading, started by John and Sarah Bastiani. They are really good people. Some of the things that they do is they support veterans groups. They support animal rights groups. They support so many things like that. And they have and they sell firearms. It's not them. They sell firearms to people who have gone through background checks, have waited 10 days to pick up the firearm. They sell ammo to people, which is now also being restricted by our government. They sell optics. They sell it all. They have classes on. They have very good class of assessed folks on CCW. They are providing a service and a right for people to own guns, because that's your right. It comes under the Constitution. It's the Second Amendment. Bastiani Arms. I wouldn't think of any other place to buy a gun. Then there, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, open Tuesday through Saturday. Go on down there and talk to them. See what they are like. They are great people, and the people that work for them are outstanding. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank. And I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry, He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Lindebot. 25 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. I hope you're doing great today. It's just beautiful outside. I tell you, it's chilly. I'm out there, you know, on the breaks, I run outside, just stand there and watch people going by, and which is interesting because sometimes the motorcycle cop across is sitting across from me where you can't see him, and as people are going by with their on their cell phones, he just kind of just pulls right out. He never stays longer than there for like 5 minutes. At the latest, he pulls in, he stops, he waits, and sure enough, here comes somebody on their cell phone.
Cheap ticket. Easy ticket.
Easy ticket, not cheap.
Easy okay. Income for the city.
Yeah.
How much of that do we get to keep?
Well, for those, not a lot, because I think, you know, when it goes to court, a lot of it goes back down to the state. Okay. Let's go on back to the shootings. Now, they've done a study, and they found that of the of all the shootings that have been, a lot of the mass shootings, we mentioned it yesterday, there were certain things they all had in common. And one of them was, in all but six cases, the father had been absent when the boy, because it's been all men except for the one woman that was in San Bernardino, and she was with her husband, have been men. And then, but they've got... In, like I said, almost every case, you know, six exceptions of these 20 cases that the father was not there. Now, there's been another one that's risen. It's had another reason, and this guy by the name of Black, he's using the terms that a lot of times feminists use, a toxic masculinity in our boys. That our boys are being raised to be tough, to man up, to keep their emotions in check, to, you know, you're the breadwinner, and you have all this pressure on you, and you don't share it, you don't tell people, you don't seek help, you don't show your emotions. I thought, well, you know, I'm reading what this guy has to say. And then, you know, then they start having these problems because they're not big enough, they're not strong enough, they're not fast enough, you know, they're not the stars on the team. They're just average kids. So then you have to look at it, and then you say, well, they have to start compensating. And then this is where he says it. In some cases, it could be a gun. Because a lot of these shootings, you know, are from young people. Not this guy in Las Vegas, but younger people. At the schools. So, but then you have to ask yourself, well, if that's the case, what about the millions and millions and millions of young men who were raised in a way that said, take responsibility for your actions, take care of those that are weaker than you, be polite to women, but you need to man up and get the job done. As millions and millions and millions of us have done.
Our greatest generation proved.
And yet we're not out. And what about all those who are not out killing people that have manned up, that have been the breadwinners, that have, you know, maybe they're not perfect, but they have moved, well, because
but they have moved forward in their lives and they've been a success. What about those? What about those people? When you start talking about toxic masculinity, like there's something wrong with boys. And when boys hear things like
here
this,
it comes. Yeah.
Well, when boys hear things like this, they're going to say, well, how am I supposed to act? And the fact that you can be a responsible, strong person doesn't mean that you're it's toxic because you are the best, because you've tried to be the best in sports or whatever. You know, America still loves winners.
Yeah.
You know, not to sound like Patton, but, America still loves winners. And here's the other thing. Since male-female relations are so important, if you're a chubby little kid in high school, weren't on the teams, got mediocre grades and all those kind of stuff, are the girls gonna be pursuing you as they are the jocks? No.
No,
of course not.
You're in the face of about a million years worth of evolution there, Bubba.
Yeah, because what are they, yeah, I know, and it's get into that. Who's the one that can take care of me? And that's the bottom line. And the evolutionists can take care of me. Now, it's not the same anymore because now those kids that are just brains and overlooked years ago are now ones that own Amazon.
They're CEOs.
Yeah, they own Amazon and those things.
So this person's solution was, we need more snowflakes.
His solution was that there has to be a way that these... He said, frankly, my life became a lot easier for me when I realized I didn't have to be a guy. Well, I mean, I'm not sure, but what exactly is a guy? Is that somebody that... has to go out with his friends and drink and carouse and go to strip clubs and all that. Is that being a guy?
So we celebrate diversity by becoming unisexual gray people. Is that what I'm hearing here?
No, I don't think so. I've been approached to do a which I'm going to do as soon as they swing back through here, a photo shoot on just a picture, and it's about seeking help. If things, like things stress you, what do you do when things stress you?
Well,
Bob?
Yeah. What do I do?
Yeah. Well,
fly. A walk, usually.
Yeah. Fly fishing or something, things like that. Running, some people, do running or working out and stuff. So the thing is here's a picture that says, hey, look, when things get tough, when I'm getting stressed, that life is getting big, I'd go out fly fishing. And fly fishing puts everything kind of back in perspective, or riding your motorcycle or something.
The river runs through.
Yeah. And this is the kind of thing that they want to push out to people, that it's not a form of weakness to say that, hey, look, life can get to you, because life does get to you. So it's the big thing then is how you handle it. But it's toxic masculinity. Here we are talking about our kids that are young boys that we're raising them in such a way that, they've got no other way to go. See, I disagree with the hypothesis on this because there are so many others that are raised that way that do not turn into killers, do not turn into murderers, do not become mass murderers. They don't become those things. Yes, more males commit suicide. Yes, women live longer. But... as we get into our corporate worlds, I think that's going to change a little bit.
Yeah. You don't hear about the success stories. You only hear about the epic fails.
Yeah. Okay. There's a couple other things. When you get into this, that what's the cause of this? Excuse me. It goes back again into, as I hope we get Dr. Malachi on for Friday, that there's tests you can do for personality disorders. Now, did this young man have a personality disorder? Well, it appears that he did. And was it ever identified? Was it officially identified and said, you know what, we're going to have, we want you to take a test.
Yeah, here. This guy's
at
a problem.
8, 10, and 12, maybe later in life too, maybe 16. That's part of your testing that you do every year. You just take a 100-question test. And that when you come out, now, they're also very good at dissembling and saying, no, I don't feel that way, when indeed they do. But it could indicate when you start them young enough, before they've learned to lie this well, that something to look for and maybe something to try, and to let their parents know and say, hey, there's this, there's
there's help for this. You know, the fact that you hung your cat out there to dry is a big indicator.
Yeah.
That maybe he needs some help. Or I say he, it's mainly guys, you know, but it could be she. All right.
Well, some of your favorite wing nuts, and I will not mention the name, are making the suggestion that some of these individuals are being pushed into these acts in order to forward the legitimacy of drastic, draconian laws regarding things like personal privacy, what you are allowed to own, and that you could be rounded up for any indicators, and there's no clear, it's sort of a no-fly list on steroids. And if you have certain indicators, then you will be scrutinized closely and forbidden from being able to participate in certain things. And I think that's a conspiracy theory, the idea that these horrific incidents are being, if not pushed, at the least enabled. I'm certainly hoping that these people are talking out of their hat. The ones who are suggesting that there is a an agenda behind
this
stuff.
I think what it is if there's an agenda, it's something you need to look at our society. Maybe, you know, that we're the movies, the games, the things you see on TV, the things that are being said, the anger that's being pushed by the media. Jennifer Gardner, you know, the actress. Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer, she's dedicating her life to changing the world.
Well, she said she's taking off making movies for a year so she can save democracy. Okay, Jennifer, good luck on that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
We'll call you Jennifer of Arc. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This portion of the show is brought to you by Finders Keepers, right off of Hilltop across from CR Gebs, a unique upscale home consignment boutique with quality selection of new and gently used pieces. We've gotten stuff there. We've bought stuff. It's really good stuff. And the owners of that were like the business, small business of the year from the city, the Chamber of Commerce years ago. Head on down to Hilltop right next to Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back.
Stone Kingdom provides you with luxury concrete and exotic rock features from around the world. Stone Kingdom at 290 Hartnell Avenue. Visit their amazing showroom where you can view dozens of colors of artisan concrete panels, whether it's interior or exterior, commercial or residential. Stone Kingdom will provide you with a realistic stone look. From kitchen and bathrooms, fireplace surrounds, accent walls, flooring and entries, to barbecue areas, man caves, columns and arches. Stone Kingdom. Visit their showroom at 290 Hartnell Avenue and check them out on Facebook. Stone Kingdom.
For your rockin' pleasure, ZZ Tush. A full-on tribute to that little old band from Texas. Live in concert at Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, March 9th. Northern California's premier ZZ Top tribute band, ZZ Tush, brings it live and loud, playing all their greatest hits. And then some. Got Me Under Pressure, Cheap Sunglasses, Legs. ZZ Tush brings the ZZ Top experience to the stage. They got the moves, the music, the beards, the shades, and of course, the furry guitars. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WindRiver.com. Tickets for this are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. So if a good old time is what you're after, then you ought to come out. These boys give you the whole package. ZZ Tush live and loud at Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, March 9th at 7:30 p.m. A good rockin' time will be had by all. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play and the Apple Store. Concerts are better at the river.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebaugh. Good morning. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. It's 32 degrees out there, and it feels like it. Going up to 51 today with a low of 28 tonight. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. Let's go to the phones. Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Good morning, Bob. Hey, I always get a kick out of this thing from the standpoint of how it's always reported and what is reported and what isn't. Now, when I went to school down at San Francisco State, I worked in the fake media or the fake news back in the late 90s. I worked for a station called KCBS out of San Francisco, and what I always was fascinated by was that any time they had an incident at the Golden Gate Bridge, there was, we never report what happens on the radio. And I, why don't we report that? Well, we don't want any kind of people to kind of get copycat stuff going on there. I'm like, well, that all makes sense. But it's like, okay, so we don't do that because we don't want a whole bunch of people jumping off the bridge. But let's plaster this stuff all over every form of media that we have anytime a school shooting takes place. And now you've got the social media that's out there. The people that do these things have a platform that's just right there. It just says, hey, look at me. That's one part of it. The other part of it is the whole hypocrisy. Now, again, when I went to San Francisco State and I was taking media classes, one of my professors, and it just to this day, just it's like, well, people aren't influenced by what they see on television or video games or anything like that. And I was like, how could you not say that there is no causal relationship to someone engaging in violent video games or watching violent movies committing violent acts? And, you know, it goes down to that whole psychological aspect of, hey, what's your environment like that you're growing up in? Not only inside the household, but inside, society in general. It's like, let's accept the fact that we let our kids watch these movies and play these violent video games and just kind of nod, wink, wink, kind of there's nothing going on here kind of thing. So that's kind of my take on it this morning.
I'll
be famous.
Yeah, well, it is, and it's once it hits this with 24-hour news, that's where it is. And then you're in Facebook. So I don't even know if you could even keep it. You could just make an announcement, one announcement. This horrendous shooting in Florida cost this. The perpetrator's been arrested or killed. And then that's it. And then nothing after that. So they couldn't build on it. I don't know how much of it's a copycat. I really don't. Thanks, Rob.
He makes a point that these disenfranchised kids who feel lost, floundering, that nobody knows who they are suddenly, and everybody knows who they are. And even if they go out in that blaze of glory, by God, their name will be on every set of lips.
It's, again,
we celebrate it.
It is in a twisted way. It is a mentally, it's a problem that I would hope can be identified. But then, you know, then you get into these things like a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old takes a test that tells that he's got the tendency to be a sociopath. And then, but of all the ones that have been identified probably as sociopaths, they don't act on, you know, that are not they're not murderers, they're not killers, they're not abusers or nothing. They're just, you know, that they have certain tendencies of a sociopath. And then at what point then now you're starting to identify people. It's like saying a person with post-traumatic stress should not be able to own a gun if they're being treated for that. Why? Why? Because it doesn't mean that they're going to go out and shoot somebody because they have post-traumatic stress, but you want to take their rights away under the Constitution.
Not just theirs.
Charles, good morning.
Yes, good morning. One question you could certainly ask some of the people pushing for this, that is, if they bother to calm down long enough to use their use their head for thinking rather than feeling. And that is, at what point are you willing to, at what point, you're advocating for more and more laws. At what point do you say, okay, we've got enough gun laws, we don't need any more, and all you hear is the sound of crickets.
Yeah.
And, because it's ultimately never enough. And for people, and it's that way for a multitude of reasons because, depending on who you're talking to, the reason is different. It could be, some of the people you talk to, it may be because their thinking process is so driven by raw emotion that they don't set aside the emotion long enough to apply logic and reason. Then others really do want to take everybody's guns away, and they know that, one step leads to another, etc. And so that's why, there's different reasons why people won't answer the question, at what point do we, have enough gun laws and need to look elsewhere? They won't answer that question.
Well, they won't because there's a because they want semi-automatic rifles to be taken away from the public, and
they want more than that.
Well, no, I know, but that's the start. It's like the shot, the lead shot. Now it's going to go to lead weights, and then after they've done that, what else can we do? It's one of those things they kind of look around when you've got absolute power like the Democrats do here in the state of California. There's nothing to keep them from doing anything they want. Anything they want. But at least in the country, there are still places that if you just can't handle it here in California, you can move someplace else, which you shouldn't have to do, but you can. But you're right. It's not just the semi-automatic rifles, because then somebody will come up and say, well, look, these semi-automatic pistols. I mean, trust me, I can shoot 50 times with a pistol. And probably almost as fast and reloading as somebody with a rifle. Trust me, I can do that. And so because of that, they need then to take the semi-automatic pistols away. Because it's just because, and then they're going to say if they get the rifles is, there's more people killed with pistols than rifles, which is absolutely true. Many more killed with pistols than rifles. So, we're taking these weapons of mass destruction out of their hands, but now, really, it's the ones that are killing more people. It's these semi-automatic pistols. I mean, it's just ridiculous, and people ought to be able to see through this, but who knows? Who knows, Charles?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotta run.
Another thing, too, it's like, what kind of value systems are people growing up with anymore? I mean, there was a time when, and some people are not going to want to hear this, but, we had prayer and other things and the Ten Commandments in the schoolhouse.
Yeah, we did.
And these mass shootings were a lot more rare than they are today, and gun control was a lot less stringent back in the day than it is now. But people don't want to look at that. Instead,
it's easier to blame.
We take prayer and Bible
reading
and we say, oh, well, we can't do that. That's not politically correct anymore. And we teach them that they are the ultimate descendants of primordial slime, and then one of them decides to act accordingly.
Yep. Hey, we got to run, Charles.
All right. It's about 8 o'clock. Time for news, huh?
Yep. Yeah, time for news, that. And we got a candidate for governor will be joining us right after.
Brown doesn't even know we exist.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Charles.
Bye.
Oh, see, how much time we have?
We got about 40 seconds before I have to.
It's just then
you shake your head, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is people go, oh, it's these rifles. But I can tell you right now, Anita Brady, who's an educator in town, she is articulate and bright, says we need to do away with all those rifles. And if Anita could then tell me, though, I'm not going to say anything about semi-automatic pistols. She can't. Because that's what's next. They're killing machines. They're used in killing more people than rifles. And we got rid of rifles, and we should get rid of pistols. All right. Tomorrow. Not tomorrow. After the news break, we got a couple more things to talk about before we have Mr. Allen come on.
And Community Talk Radio for the North State is AM 1460 KCNR Shasta Reading. News brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. See their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive.
TownHall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. New charges in the Russia probe. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's prosecutors charging a man they claim lied to federal investigators.
According to a court filing in federal court here in Washington, Alex van der Zwaan is accused of making false statements. It's alleged he lied to investigators about his interactions with Rick Gates. Gates is a former Trump campaign aide who was indicted last year on charges of conspiracy to launder money and acting as an unregistered foreign agent.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Setting aside their political differences, President Trump has endorsed Mitt Romney for the U.S. Senate seat in Utah, Romney thanking the president for his backing. A student delegation from a Florida high school headed to Tallahassee today on what the young people consider a life-saving mission.
6 days after the deadly shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, 100 students from that school will board buses and make the trip of over 400 miles to the state capitol to implore lawmakers to act. There is legislation in the works in the state Senate that would raise the age for firearms purchases to 21 and create a waiting period. I'm Mike Rossia.
The Supreme Court has turned away two challenges to California gun laws.
The court rejected without comment challenges by two guns rights groups to California laws regulating firearm sales. It left in place two rulings by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. In one case, the appeals court upheld a fee charged by the state for sales and transfers of guns. In the other, the court upheld a 10-day waiting period for gun purchases, even by those who already own firearms. Justice Clarence Thomas issued a 14-page dissent on that one.
That's correspondent Wally Hines. On Wall Street right now, the Dow down about 192 points, the Nasdaq trading 11 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Bangladesh holding talks with Myanmar about the future of some 6,500 Rohingyas who fled violence in Myanmar's Rakhine state and are now languishing in a no-man's land.
Confirmation of the talks has come from Bangladesh, where the government is under pressure at home to make progress on the refugee crisis and start repatriations. But at the moment, neither side seems willing to accept the group, which is stranded in the border zone with uncertain legal status. UN agencies who aren't taking part in the meeting say all returns must be voluntary. And as monsoon season nears, they're raising concerns about the plight of refugees in makeshift camps inside Bangladesh, which are vulnerable to flooding.
The BBC's Jill McGivering. ISIS terrorists planned but failed to attack another southern Philippine city shortly after troops crushed their siege of Marawi last year. That word today from a leader of the country's largest Muslim rebel group. News and analysis at townhall.com. A former First Lady recovering following recent surgery.
The Carter Center says in a statement that former First Lady Rosalynn Carter underwent successful surgery over the weekend and she's expected to remain hospitalized for several days while she rests and recovers. Rosalynn Carter, who's 90, underwent surgery at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta early Sunday to have scar tissue removed from a portion of her small intestine. Former President Jimmy Carter told several hundred people at a President's Day event at Jimmy Carter National Historic Site in Plains, Georgia, that the scar tissue was from an old operation about 50 years ago. I'm Mike Rossia.
The National Rifle Association rallying members after a Kentucky billboard was spray-painted with the message, Kill the NRA. The NRA's verified Facebook page posted a photo of the sign and tell the gun owners that it's a wake-up call saying they're coming after us, asking members to like and share and spread the word. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 in downtown Reading. 5.5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and the news, as always, is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, best walk-in humidor in Northern California. Great service there. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at kcnr1460.com. Travis Allen is going to be calling us at probably another 10 minutes here to be on. The gentleman running for governor for the Republican Party. What's it look like, Bob?
Well, I just pulled up Dark Sky, which is my weather app that I have here, showing 33 degrees currently in Reading, temperature rising up to a high of about 52 today. I'm going to have to check the radar now because according to, and of course, these are all computer-generated forecasts. We got increasing clouds throughout the day, and by tomorrow morning, they want to call for snow in Reading, possible light snow. I'm not confident.
Okay, roll that one by me again.
A very light chance of snow down to the valley floor, but right now we're looking at about 20. Actually, they've upped it. It went from 22% to 28% chance, and of course, this is all computer generated stuff. But it's going to get cold overnight, and that's the circumstance under which Reading can see snow fall from the snowflakes, not the political variety, fall on our fair town is when we get a cold overnight and then the clouds move in and we get some precip. That's pretty much the only circumstances under which we can reasonably get snow. So, but I would put it at way outside odds.
Watch what happens tomorrow morning. Watch what happens tomorrow morning. I mean, you don't show up because you can't get your Jeep into four-wheel drive.
I famously remember...
And as you come sliding sideways into the parking area.
I remember TV meteorologist Mark Eubank, who was a kind of an icon in this community for many, many years when I was growing up, getting a letter from a TV viewer saying, I just shoveled 6 inches of fair and slightly warmer off my sidewalk this morning.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's the only people get paid, whether you're right or wrong.
Oh, Brenda loves her job.
Is weatherman and talk show host. We get paid whether we're right or wrong. Hey, the weather is brought to you by, though the weather reports are brought to you by, Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans. And you know what? It's cold out there. Call them. 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in town. Keep going down there, my friends. Keep telling them you heard it here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda. They have it all there. They have the only watch repairmen. They have they can design jewelry and build it with gems from all over the world. Right there, Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Now, I got a call from my daughter this weekend, and it was a little, you know, unsettling. My granddaughter got a concussion. She is a great soccer player. Her high school team has been the state champ several years. She plays on club teams, too, and she's in tournaments. And she turned around, and it wasn't like she bumped into somebody. The ball was kicked and hit her, in the, I guess, just perfectly on the crown of her head. The coach, you know, she starts running in circles trying to figure out where she's supposed to be on the field. The coach pulls her off the field, and Ashley just kind of drops. Of course, my daughter, you know, levitates her way over to her, and she's a nurse. So, she's not making sense when she's talking, so they take her to one of the walk-in clinics. Yeah, it really did. It really has. And if you've ever had a concussion, or if you've ever been hit like that, you know things are strange for a while. So they end up going to the emergency room and getting a CAT scan of her head. Well, no damage at all. It was a concussion, so she's in concussion protocol. She's 15 years old in concussion protocols in soccer. So I have to look this up, and you know, because I just saw where some former NFL players are putting together these programs to help prevent concussions or to help treat concussions for high school and college players.
Mm-hmm.
But you start looking at statistics, and you're going to see that girls' soccer is right up next to football as far as the percentage of concussions that's happening. And so you have to get in this. And, in fact, some places will tell you that you'll read, because I've written a couple of them, that that there's more concussions in soccer than there are in football. And some of it is, the reason is that they're heading the ball and they're heading it incorrectly, or their necks, because, you know, they start playing at four, that their necks are not strong enough. You know, their heads are too heavy for their necks to be able to be able to head these balls. You know, balls coming down, and you know they try to angle it, of course, into the goal or whatever they do of it. So that's a problem. So here I am thinking, and here's my granddaughter. This is her first concussion. She's been playing since she was like 5, 10 years, but this is her first concussion. My grandson has had a couple, and you know, from baseball and football, and so. And he's only 11. So I'm thinking is that maybe, guys, you ought to pull him back a little bit, you know, maybe get him into something like swimming where he can drown but you won't get a concussion. Get him into swimming or something like this but he loves to play baseball. So I think he's going to continue to play baseball. He may not be playing football. But here's the question is, there's a lot of people out there whose kids, I mean, soccer is big. I wonder how many people realize the injuries, the amount of injuries that these young people have when they're playing soccer, and what's the impact on them down the line? She's had a concussion, traumatic brain injury. Is that traumatic brain injury? No, not yet. But they got protocol. She cannot get back on the field. By the way, she sees the trainer every day, and she sees the doctor has to sign off that says she's okay to play again. So she's not going to play for several weeks.
There is legislation afoot now targeting football, but I would not be surprised to see it go to all forms of contact sport to severely limit schools having full participation in football.
Well, I think that they're going to do is, you know, I've heard them say is that they're going to outlaw heading below a certain age,
yeah.
Which kind of makes sense to you because, you know, that it's, and I can see that because they're trying to avoid injuries to kids. You know what? There were kids from high school had knee injuries that they had suffered when they were 10 years old when we were playing. Because it was just, you just played. And in Texas, they'll hold you back a year so you get bigger so you can play.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing is weird. So I thought that was quite interesting. The other thing, New York Times op-ed said Trump, they do this every 4 years, said Trump is the worst president ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that Obama moved up into the top 10 of being the top 10 best. However, Clinton did drop like 6 spots. The predator. He only dropped 6 spots. And they're saying, but you know what? Here's the thing is they said, this does not mean that Trump is going to stay there. Because a lot of times presidents start slow. And they're saying he's the worst president. But I can't figure out is where the reasoning is. Where's your reasoning? Is it because he hasn't done anything? Well, he has. You know, I mean, he's. He's ended the war in the Middle East. He has given a tax break to everybody. Well, maybe not everybody, but, you know, tax reform. He's doing other things like this. He's brought business back. The economy's booming. I'm not sure where they're how they measure this, because it didn't give their measures of how it was. But he took over from Buchanan, who got us into the Civil War, who was one of the primary, not Lincoln, but Buchanan that led us into it. So you have to ask yourself, who is doing this? Who makes these things? And, you know, who puts this out every year, and, like, they know that they have the final word on it. Anyway, they did say that things change and will change. Like, say, you know, like, they're starting slowly, but he'll, you know, once he gets into it, that he could really, you know, change his status of being the worst president. I love it. I love the New York Times. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. I think that I've got Mr. Allen on the line, and we'll get to him right after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Home Helpers is your quality, compassionate in-home care provider. You're not going to find a better place than Home Helpers and Sharon Clark and her people. All of them are background investigated. Everybody's insured. Everybody's bonded. Everybody's specially trained by Sharon and her staff to be able to afford what you need is an affordable solution to keep your loved ones in home and not someplace else. Home Helpers. Give them a call at 226-8350 or check it out, readinghomehelpers.com. We'll be right back with a Republican, candidate for governor of this great state of California. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly, today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Crown Motors presents the return of the premier NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show in Anderson, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. This show and sale features boating, fishing, camping, wildlife, and so much more, with hundreds of exhibits and fun for the whole family. For every sport enthusiast, this is the one event of the year not to be missed. Fishing and pleasure boats, RVs, tackle, wildcats of the world show, hydro flight demos, meet bass and tackle Rob, ride the zipline, Phil's propeller bass bin, live trout fishing pond. All this plus once a year only show prices at the Shasta District Fairgrounds and Event Center. Sponsored in part by Action News Now and this radio station.
The Ten Tenors are coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium March 16th with their acclaimed show, Wish You Were Here, a celebration of legends featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, and more. Fresh off their 20th anniversary world tour, the Ten Tenors return with their show, Wish You Were Here. With over 700 sold-out shows, 6 albums that have gone platinum and gold, it's the Ten Tenors. Don't miss your opportunity to experience this international singing sensation live at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets for this soon-to-be-sold-out show, the Ten Tenors, March 16th. Go to readingcivic.com for your tickets today. Tickets are also available at the Civic box office or by calling 229-0022.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves, with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460, with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. Carl and Bob, Linda's on assignment today. Good morning, everybody. 32 degrees going up to 51 today. It's 18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 20th of February, 2018. And on the line here we have Travis Allen, candidate for governor for the state of California and a Republican. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
Great. So tell us a little bit about who you are.
So I am a state assemblyman. I've represented California since 2012 in the legislature. I was born and raised down in San Diego, but for the last 20 years I've called Huntington Beach home. And after 6 years of fighting Jerry Brown and the California Democrats in the legislature, essentially almost every single day, I realized that really the only way to turn our state around, the only way to stop this, you know, worst in the nation poverty, where one in five Californians lives below the poverty line, these massive taxes that always go higher, like this recent gas tax increase that we never voted on, and to reverse things like the illegal sanctuary state. The only way we're actually going to get that done is by running to be the next governor of the state of California, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm the Republican front runner, and I'm telling you right now, there is something changing in California. Californians have had enough, and there's no way we're ever going to let Gavin Newsom be our next governor. And that's why I'm running, to make sure that we get a Republican governor finally in California.
What kind of feedback are you getting, Travis, because you're traveling all over the state, obviously? You were here last night, I believe, speaking to a group of people here.
I was. It's sellout crowds everywhere we go in California. Every event I'm doing now is selling out up and down the state. We just did a rally in Sacramento on the Capitol steps on the 12th, which was Sunday before last. And it was huge. It was 1,200 people from across the state. And really the response has been amazing across California for a very simple reason. The people of California feel forgotten. They feel left behind. They truly feel as if the San Francisco Bay Area, Jerry Brown and the California Democrat Party are no longer listening to them. And there is a silent supermajority in this state that has had enough. They want their state back. They want to have input into the decisions of how their state is run. They don't like this out-of-control crime that we now have and homelessness that has been driven by these terrible policies of the Democrats. And they want change. And so we're going up and down the state. And I got to tell you, every place we're going, Carl, including last night, people are activated, they're energized, and they're ready to take their state back.
You know, one of the things I've noticed when I was looking at something that talked about, you know, registration of voters, the largest growing is the, independents or prefer not to, what is it, prefer not to
decline to state.
So they're saying these are getting bigger and bigger and bigger every time that there's a study done, that there's more people that says, you know what, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. Are you seeing crossovers or things like this?
We're seeing tons of crossover. You know, I have a 5-point plan for California, and it's very simple. Every single one of the points that I talk about in terms of what we need to do to fix California is entirely bipartisan. It really doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a declining state. There are issues that we all know need to be fixed, and it's just plain common sense. So it starts out with cutting our taxes and reversing this ridiculous gas tax that we never voted on. The next is make our community safe again and reverse these soft-on-crime laws of Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown and the California Democrats, like AB 109, Prop 57, and Prop 47. This is early release of criminals and felonies turning into misdemeanors. Then we talk about fixing our roads and expanding our freeways. We have the second worst roads in the nation with the worst freeways and the worst traffic in the nation. And yet we can fix these and expand these without raising taxes. Jerry Brown's idea, of course, is to raise $52 billion of taxes, and not one penny of this will get to be spent on any new free freeway lanes anywhere in the state. And that's a crime. Then we talk about fixing our broken education system. Everybody knows that California's education system used to be among the best in the nation. Now our kids are 46th and 47th in reading and math, and only 30% of our ninth graders are ever expected to finish a four-year college. So we know that there's massive problems here, and what we need is accountability in the system. We need the ability to reward good teachers, but fire bad teachers, and bring bad schools back up to where the kids are no longer being left behind, and give parents the choice to send their kids to the best school that they possibly can, whether it's a public school or a charter school. And then lastly, an issue that is, you know, near and dear to all of our hearts in California is water. We have to complete the California State Water Project. And what this means is it means building more water storage up and down the state, both above ground and below ground. And to make sure we're very clear, it does not mean that we're stealing water from the north, nor does it mean that we need to drain the Delta or build these ridiculous Delta tunnels that they're, you know, Jerry Brown's idea that will cost an absolute fortune. That's not the right idea. The right idea is to build more water storage up and down the state. We have 12 projects that are currently on tap. The California Democrats came out 2 weeks ago and said that none of them fit their criteria. But I will tell you that every single one of those needs to start moving forward. We need to fight these court cases against these extreme environmentalists and actually start building water storage again in California. Because as you and I both know, we have plenty of water. We just got to make sure that we store it and it doesn't wash out under the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, the Sykes Reservoir has been going on for like, what, 30 years, something like that? And they might get it built this year.
Time after again.
Yeah. Hey, what about Sykes?
I was going to say Sykes was actually one of these ones on the list of 12, where the agency that evaluated the 12 water projects said that these projects did not fit their criteria. And, you know, you would think that the criteria for a water storage project is, number one, does it store a significant quantity of water? And number two, is it economically feasible? And number three, you know, is it environmentally sensitive, but at the same time, addressing the needs? And they have all of these backward, where, you know, they're barely even looking at the capacity for California to store water. And as we all know, you know, the problem is it's not that we don't get enough water or that we don't have enough water in California. The problem is that when the rains finally come, they burst Oroville Dam, 188,000 Californians have to get evacuated, and all that water that we save washes out under the Golden Gate Bridge. This is what we got to fix.
Who did you say that was against this? Department of the Army Corps of Engineers?
No, I got to look up. I'll actually look up the name of the agency that has done the research. But no, it was one of the state agencies, I believe.
Oh, of course.
And they found that all of these 12 projects, that none of them fit the bill, when all of these 12 projects will store water. So, I mean, these guys have the California Democrats and Jerry Brown and his whole, you know, crew that are running California through Sacramento, but really from San Francisco, have all of their priorities backwards, which is why our state is crumbling, which is why our state used to be among the very best in, you know, things like water infrastructure and transportation, education, and now we're ranked among the nation's worst.
What do you think about, I can't wait to hear this one, high-speed rail?
Oh, gosh. On day one, we need to defund high-speed rail. This thing never needs to get built, and we need to return the money back where it belongs, back to the taxpayers of California.
I think we could use that in other places. Okay, let me see. Let's hit another one. How about the Second Amendment?
I have a Second Amendment. This one's actually one of the easiest issues you could possibly imagine. The Second Amendment is guaranteed by our Constitution as a right, not a privilege. So what this means is, think about this. It means that you should have the ability to keep yourself safe, not just in your home, but when you walk down any street anywhere in California, day or night, whether you're a man, a woman, young, old, it does not matter. This is what the Second Amendment guarantees you. It guarantees you that when seconds matter, you will have the ability to protect yourself. I have an A rating from the Firearms Policy Coalition, an A rating from NRA, and a 100% vote record on making sure that we preserve our Second Amendment right and we don't let all of these ridiculous restrictions that Gavin Newsom, the California Democrats, want to put on it. And as your next governor, the key is these are all laws that we will get to veto, because this is a right that must be protected. And it came up actually in a question that we did last night with this great group we had up there in Reading, which is, you know, a lot of these laws that have been passed are federally unconstitutional and they need to be challenged in Supreme Court. And as you know, we now have Neil Gorsuch sitting up on the Supreme Court, and it's about time we take these cases from California to the federal Supreme Court and get them thrown out as unconstitutional.
I think that I think they should be working their way up now, just as we speak. Hey, we're here with Travis Allen, who is the assemblyman from the Huntington Beach area down there and is running for governor, and he's got a lot of ideas. People are starting to call in, but we need to take a quick break here, Travis. We'll be right back after these messages. Again, Travis Allen running for – he's a candidate for the Republican nomination for governor for the state of California. This portion –
I'll stick around.
Okay, please. We've got another 15, 20, 30 minutes here because I want to talk to you about your plans because you're going up against a behemoth out there, as you know, and your plans on how to chop away at it so that you can win this. This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California, right here in Redding. Complete CCW training, tactical rifle, advanced pistol, not only that, but team building for businesses. How to go out there and have a great time, learn how to shoot, and have a good time while you're at it. Check it out at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. Northern Firearms Instruction. We'll be right back with Travis Allen.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Some things in life you can just rely on. Like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure, 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and studios at KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans, man's last stronghold. Head on down there, right down to, and right off of Athens Avenue, right there. We're here with Assemblyman Travis Allen, represents the Huntington Beach area down there in the California Assembly, is running for Republican nomination for governor. So good morning and welcome back, Mr. Allen.
Good morning, Carl. And I'm running more for the Republican nomination. I am running to be the next governor of the state of California.
That's right.
We're going to get this Republican nomination, but you better believe that we're going to be pulling in every single voter in California. And like we just talked in the last segment, Republican, Democrat, or declined state, our state has run in the wrong direction and been run in the wrong direction. You know, the California Democrats for 39 of the last 40 years have controlled the state legislature. The Jerry Brown family has run California for 24 of the last 50 years. It's about time we change that and bring some balance back to our state.
Okay, we have callers. Okay, D.C., do you have a question for Mr. Allen?
What'd you say?
Oh, D.C.?
Yes?
Do you have a question for Mr. Allen?
Yeah. As you know, in California, the top two go. It doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat. And the Democrats, two of those guys can probably split the vote. But if we have two Republicans running, if we split our Republican vote, there's no way we get into the top two. How are we going to overcome that?
Okay, D.C., thanks a lot.
Oh, go ahead.
No, he's finished. I just said thanks a lot. What's your answer
to
that?
You bet. So, D.C., the answer is very simple. It's the Ronald Reagan concept of peace through strength. The only answer is that in California, the top two advance from the June primary into November. So you got to get the votes to be in the top two. Now, there's going to be there are a bunch of candidates on the Democrat side. There are about three major candidates they talk about, but really there's just two on the Republican side. I'm the Republican front runner, actually by a country mile, depending on which poll you're looking at. One poll had me with more support than all the rest of the Republicans combined. There is another Republican. He is a guy from Chicago who has only lived here in California as a resident since 2011. He spent about $4.3 million on his race so far, and he still trails me in the polls. This, of course, is a guy called John Cox. This guy, John Cox, voted for not Donald Trump in the latest election, but a guy by the name of Gary Johnson that believes in open borders, legalized drugs, and legalized prostitution. So he's actually not making it very far, as you would imagine, with that. So the real answer is that this is not just about locking up the Republican nomination, which will be decided on in May of this year. The real answer is to make the case to Californians up and down the state, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or declined a state, that Jerry Brown and the California Democrats have just gone too far. And today's California Democrat Party doesn't even represent today's Democrats in California. And to understand this, you got to realize that today's Democrat Party is run out of San Francisco. And you don't got to take my word for it. Just look at the people that are there. Jerry Brown, Nancy Pelosi, Boxer, Feinstein, Newsom, Kamala Harris, all of them from the Bay Area, San Francisco. They don't know your issues. They don't care about your issues. They care about their urban population in the Bay Area. And it's evident in all of their policies. Californians are tired of this. They're tired of not being represented. There's 39 million of us with very diverse needs, and it's about time those needs get addressed. And that is why we will see someone who is not a Democrat winning in 2018. Californians saw that we just won the presidential race, and they know that it is entirely possible. And I'll give you one last thing, D.C. In 2014, Jerry Brown got 4.3 million votes to be the next governor of the state of California. In 2016, Donald Trump got 4.4 million votes in California. Literally, all we got to do is turn out the Trump voters, and Travis Allen will be your next governor in California in 2018.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so, this part about, Republican, it could be the two biggest vote getters go to the, go into the finals there. I've never quite understood why we did that, except it was a Democrat thing.
And actually, Carl, I can help out with that. So the story is that this was actually proposed by a very big Republican donor. And his thought years ago was that if we have open primaries, which is what they're called, you will get more moderate candidates. That was what he was trying to do. And he thought that there was some way that we would get more Republicans elected through that. I was actually personally elected with the open primary system. I ran against another Republican in Orange County to get my state assembly seat in 2012. So I wouldn't even be here without the open primary. But in the years that have passed, and there's good reasons for it, because it forces Democrats to fight against Democrats, and they spend a lot of money on it and waste a lot of money. But I think today, when we look at it, what we understand is the only way we are going to actually begin to take back places like the Bay Area of San Francisco or Los Angeles with all of its massive population is by having Republicans on the ballot alongside Democrats. We have to give the people of California a very clear choice for every single partisan race that there is a Republican in that race. Which is why today I think that a one Republican versus a one Democrat system is probably much better for the representation for the people of California. Because mm-hmm. what nobody wants is a situation like what we just saw in 2016, where for the federal U.S. Senate position, there was two Democrats running. And if you were a Republican or a, you know, an independent voter, you had no choice. It was either one Democrat or no vote at all. And those are situations that we have to change in California.
Well, and the next thing then is, and you're right, I agree with that. I mean, you know, for the large, you know, for the positions like that, they need to have a clear choice. And you know what they're, you know, right now the battle between Newsom and Antonio, you know, they're, you know, for it. But that's no clear choice for anybody else, for the, you know, probably for a lot of people in California. But what
absolutely about, not. That's between worse and worse. And I mean, you just got to ask yourself a question: would you rather live in Los Angeles, where homelessness has skyrocketed over 30% last year, and it looks like a third world country in downtown LA, or would you rather live in San Francisco, where they have 22,000 intravenous drug users on their streets, maps of human waste, and they are going to open up two, not just one, two legalized heroin injection centers in July. I mean, neither of these cities are what we want the state of California to look like.
What happens when when you get elected and you're sitting there in the governor's seat and you've got a really heavy Democratic control of both the Assembly and the Senate?
So this is exactly what is going to happen. And, you know, to understand how we win in an environment like that and how we actually get to implement the five-point plan that I was talking about, where we're cutting taxes and getting tough on crime, you know, fixing our roads and fixing our broken schools and actually completing the state water project, you ask yourself, well, you know, how can you possibly get this done when the legislature is going to give you none of these things? And the answer is actually very simple. As the governor of California, I have the ability, and I will have the ability, to veto any bad law. The second thing is we have line item veto power, which means we can cut out all of these ridiculous expenses like Jerry Brown's high-speed train to nowhere in the state budget. But one of the biggest powers that not even the President of the United States have is, as the next California governor, we will have the ability to call special elections anytime we want and take these issues directly before the people of California. And that's exactly what we got to do. So all of these big ideas like cutting taxes, getting tough on crime, fixing our broken schools, actually building more water storage up and down the state of California. The way we're going to get this done is by putting it directly on the ballot. And the governor can call a special election anytime they want to. And unlike Arnold Schwarzenegger, who called special elections once, and then when he lost, he went home and we never saw him again, what you do is you call these again and again and again until you win. You know, the governor's seat is a four-year position, and that's a lot of elections. What we need is a governor who actually understands the problems in California and understands the tools that are available to fix those problems, has the energy and resolve to go and fight those fights until they are won.
The universities in California have scholarships and all types of things affordable for illegals that are going to schools there. Do you plan to do anything about that?
This is a major problem in California. Jerry Brown and the California Democrats are prioritizing the needs of people who are in our state illegally over our California citizens. And this is just plain wrong. And I mean, it goes beyond the education funding that people who are not in our state legally are getting. They recently, in this latest legislative session, there was a proposal to spend over $1 billion of our taxpayer money on health care for people who are in our state illegally. You know that over 1 million driver's licenses have been issued to people who are interstate illegally over the last 3 years. And then now we're looking at $50 million in the latest state budget to defend people who are in our state illegally with actual legal funds that are coming out of the taxpayers' dollars. So this is the problem, is that when we don't have enough money in California to take care of our own citizens, why would we be spending it on people who are not even in our state legally? And then it gets even worse when you start taking a look at Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown's illegal sanctuary state. This takes it a step further. So the sanctuary state is the concept that people who are here illegally, that are committing crimes while they are here, are now being sheltered with your taxpayer dollars. That is wrong. And in my first 100 days, I have already vowed to call the special election, as we just discussed, and reverse the illegal sanctuary state. We have to put the needs of California citizens first.
Do you think that people, you can wean them off being given so much from the state here?
You know, there was, this brings up, you know, I think it was Romney, who when he was running for president made this comment that 47% of the American people are on some form of government assistance, and so they would never vote for him. I think that's absolute nonsense. I think we all know somebody who receives some form of you know, government funds, whether it be, you know, Medicare or Social Security or, you know, disability benefits or something like this. There is a role for the government to take care of, you know, people who can't take care of themselves, to take care of the people who have paid into the system for their entire life, that's Social Security and Medicare. But the problem is that California now has more welfare than any other state. The problem is that California is giving away our money to people who are not working for it and are able-bodied, and they're able to go and actually get jobs and contribute to society. Now, the myth of the Democrats is that these people don't want to, and that's a total myth. The bottom line is that Californians do want to work, but people and companies are fleeing our state. I mean, we take a look up here in the North State. You know, we look at agriculture, we look at timber, we look at, you know, water, mining, all of the natural resources, and most of these jobs have already left. And they've left because the extreme environmentalists of the left have shut down all of these industries. And it makes no sense because the land belongs to us. If we don't responsibly manage our forests, we get these out-of-control wildfires. If we have mineral resources that are ours, they're ours as Californians to actually go in and recover. Do it cleanly, do it safely, do it environmentally friendly, but don't let these out-of-control state agencies regulate us out of business and out of our livelihoods. The bottom line is that Californians will work. Californians want to work, and they will vote for a governor who wants to put them back to work again, because everybody knows that the pride that comes from a job is something that can't be replicated by any amount of government assistance. And as your next governor of the state of California, I'm going to hang a bright neon sign over the Capitol, and it's going to say, open for business.
Do we have much time with you, or you got to run?
I can give you just a moment more. I have a 9 o'clock coming up, but I'd love to talk for just a moment more if you have a moment.
Sure. I would like to ask, we'll just skip the break here and I'm going to go on. The unfunded liability problems we're having in the state are just horrendous. You know, it's impacting on every city, every town, through cows, purrs, and all these. What do you plan on doing with this?
So this thing is a ticking time bomb, and it threatens to entirely bankrupt the state. This is the problem. You have a lot of great California government workers, and they took these jobs with a promise, and the promise was for a pension. And it was a specific promise, and that's why they took their job. These are their benefits by contract law and by right. These cannot be taken away, nor should they be taken away. However, there is a lie that has been pervasive across the state of California and absolutely in Sacramento that these benefits are actually there, when the problem is they're funded at less than 70 cents on the dollar in many cases. I brought legislation forward last year that would have stated for every worker in California that not only here's your pension amount that you're expected to get at retirement, but here's the amount that's actually funded. Because again, as I said, it's about 70 cents on the dollar right now. The problem is that every major union in California came out against that law because the union leaders are lying to their workers. And the workers themselves, many of whom are just phenomenal people doing, you know, the best work they can, don't even know that those benefits are not being funded for them. So the real issue is it starts with some honesty and some transparency. And then what we have to do is we got to figure out how we are going to manage this system going forward so it does not break the state of California. All these government workers who have put in their time and worked for these benefits, they are owed those benefits. And California will stand behind those promises. But California cannot put itself in a position where these benefits are being promised, but they're only funded at 70 cents on the dollar. Oh, and by the way, that health care plan that California's retirees have for all of the government workers, that's not funded at all. It is entirely unfunded, and they estimate that the liability there is at least $80 billion. You pair that up with the CalPERS liability and the CalSTRS liability, it's over $330 billion and even more, according to some estimates. Yeah. I think Stanford actually has the ultimate cost over $1 trillion. So as you can see, this is a major problem, yeah, but this problem has to be tackled head on with a lot of transparency.
We have one more caller, and I know what he's going to ask about. So, Mark, you have a comment or a question for Mr. Allen?
Yeah, I do. This is Mark Barrett. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great.
I listened to your live stream last night, and I have to say, you say all the right things, and quite frankly, you probably have everyone's vote up here, because if nothing else, and like I said, I did like the things you said. If you can deliver on those things, it'd be really nice, but you're the only conservative in the room, and you have to understand
that. Thanks,
the people up here. The people up here have been lied to by every single Republican in the North State and half of them in Lower California, and that's why we're going to keep trying to get out.
So you're talking about state of Jefferson,
right?
I believe, right, my friend?
Well, I'm talking about state of Jefferson and just California. I mean, like I said, we've been lied to by every Republican pretty much in California. The water bond, Klamath Dam removal, fishing game stuff, you name it. CARB, all of it. If you can deliver on your promises, that would just be fantastic. But the reason we want out is because we have to have representation that's closer to the people, and nothing you said would change that.
Yeah, so let me answer the question head on. So this is the problem in the North State, and we mentioned, you know, the state of Jefferson. There's a bunch of people at the big event we did last night talking about state of Jefferson, too. The state of Jefferson was born out of the concept that up in the North State, the policies that are being put out by Sacramento are extremely detrimental for, you know, your area for a host of different reasons. You feel as if you're underrepresented because you are underrepresented, and your needs are not taken into account. And the real problem is that California is failing the North State. This is why 243,000 Californians have left our state in the last 7 years, taking over $8 billion with them. Realize this problem is not just – it's not yours alone, though. San Francisco has more people leaving their city than any other city across the United States. But here's the answer. The answer is just like we got a brand new president in 2016, which changed absolutely everything in the country, we need a brand new governor in 2018 in California, who again can change absolutely everything in the state of California with the right tools that the governor's office possesses. So what we really need is we need policies that come out of Sacramento that make sense for the North State. This is, you know, giving you back the ability to use your own natural resources, bringing back the timber industry, having responsible forest management practices so we can actually harvest all of these, you know, incredible resources that we have, but do it responsibly and safely and environmentally friendly, which is what we would always do, of course, in any event. But also to take a look at water, take a look at your mineral rights, and actually give you ability to make money from your land, which is your land. It belongs to the people of California. It doesn't belong to some ivory tower bureaucrat coming out of the Bay Area that has a lifetime job in Sacramento. The next thing is that when, you know, we always talk to these phenomenal people that are pushing for the state of Jefferson, and I totally understand exactly why they're doing it. At every turn, California is trying to cut the North State off from anything that resembles any sort of normal livelihood, and they want to take your rights, like your Second Amendment rights, along the way. What I have told the people is very simple. I believe in a unified state, just like I believe in a unified country. I just think the state has been run in the wrong direction, and it's been run by bad management for far too long. And what I've said is always very simple. We need to turn California around. We need to take California back. And after 8 years as your governor, I will tell you this state is going to look dramatically different and dramatically better than it did before, because this state will once again be the greatest state in the nation. But in the end, if the people of Northern California say that we still need more, then the answer is that those avenues are always available.
I get all that. You're absolutely right. But it doesn't change the fundamental fact that not one single Republican has ever read the California Constitution and has no idea what's in it. Most of them have never read the United States Constitution, so restoring liberty will be difficult when you don't even know what's in the document.
Number two, my state senator, Ted Hu, has to drive 9.5 hours just to get to the place where he can hear what I have to say, because he won't listen to what I have to say on the phone or in person if I try to go to his office. And we don't have representation that even knows what's going on here in the Republican Party, in the Democrat Party, in any party. And the reason for that is because I believe in a unified country, too. I'm a combat veteran. I'm a supporter of patriotism. I voted for Donald Trump. I'll vote for him again. I'll vote for you. I'll vote for you again if we're still around. That isn't the point. The point is, representation is best when it's closest to the people, and we don't have that, and we never will, because of Reynolds versus Sims, Baker versus Carr, Gray and Westerberry versus Sanders. Those cases, we had a part-time legislature. The Supreme Court took it away from us. We had a state senator for every county. The Supreme Court took it away from us. And I apologize. The part-time legislature was by referendum. We had all that stuff. And now what we need to do is restore representation that is beholden to us directly, not the money that gets them elected. And we don't have that, and we won't have that even if you get elected. That's why we're going to continue to try to leave, and that's why we're prosecuting the case.
And, Mark, and we need to we need to continue prosecuting the case, but let me finish up. He's only got a couple of minutes left. Mark, thanks for your phone call.
Thank you very much, guys. Good luck to you. Mark, thanks so much.
He was right. You know what? He's on target here. This is the way we feel up here. And I understand what you're saying, Travis, that things can change, but – I'm going to give you, you know, we got like 4 minutes left. I'll give you your final thoughts here.
I love it. Thank you so much, Carl. And by the way, thank you too, Mark, for the call. This actually came up in the conversation we had last night at the group we had up there in Redding, which was, I am all in favor of something in California that much more resembles the federal model, where we have, you know, the House of Representatives, where everybody gets represented according to population, which is kind of the problem in the North State, because you have a ton of land and not as many people. That's why the districts are so big. But remember, we have the Senate at the federal level, too, where every single state, regardless of size, has two representatives. This is probably something that makes a lot more sense in California than the current model, which is by population for both the Senate and the Assembly. And I would absolutely be supportive of something where we were splitting it, where, you know, the Assembly is by population and the Senate is by geographic area. This is what we do federally to make sure that the small states don't get left out of the conversation from the big population states. This is the sort of thing that we need in California because, look, Mark's exactly right. I advocate for a part-time legislature because I think your legislators don't need to be full-time politicians. They need to live back in the real world and pay taxes and work real jobs like the rest of us. They see the impact of all these crazy laws. But he's also right, too, at the same time, that people in the North and people in all rural California, wherever you are, whether it's east or north or even south, they need representation because these issues are not being heard in the state of California. So with that, Carl, thank you so much for having me on. If any of your listeners have liked what I have said, if you've agreed with what we're talking about, go and find me on the web. I'm at JoinTravisAllen.com. Go to my Facebook page. It's Join Travis Allen. We have over 430,000 followers, reaching 4.5 million people last week alone. So every story that we're doing, I'm breaking all of them on Facebook. Find me at Join Travis Allen. Sign up to volunteer. We have over 38,000 volunteers, more than anybody else in the governor's race, up and down the state of California, all working to take back California. We just did it at the federal level in 2016. I am telling you right now, we are going to take back California in 2018. Carl, my name's Travis Allen. I will be your next governor, and we, my friend, are going to take back California for the people of California.
Thank you. Travis Allen running, who is going to be the next governor of California. How's that?
Amen to that. Thanks so much. You bet. Have a great day.
You bet, Travis. You know what? I appreciate it. You know, he's coming on. He's got another phone. He's got another thing he's doing at 9 o'clock, too, from somewhere, for coming on for 45 minutes. You know what? You can't help but, you know, kind of like, yeah, he's excited and you want to do something. But Mark's right. You know, Mark, you know, there's a lot of things going on here that, you know, that it's going to take some huge changes down there for us to get that representation. You know, we're trying to get those things passed so that we can just log the fired areas. You would think that would be simple. These trees have been burnt. Why can't we just log them? You know, but they're still fighting that. I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. You turn around, oh, now it's lead weights. It's this.
Let me read you a quick
plus
word.
He's going to take it out to the people. The people gave us 47 and 57, remember?
Yep.
Okay, what?
Michael Pickler, president of the California Public Utilities Commission, is proposing the idea of charging customers who live in rural areas more for their electricity because of the high risk of power line fires. I'm not sure how he managed to connect these dots. Pickering suggested it may not be fair to force all utility customers to pay to prevent wildfires caused by utility lines. He said, should we actually start to charge differently for the use of the distribution system for those sections for people who choose to live there?
Well, what about the people that were in that town down in Southern California, down in Napa Valley, when the whole town burnt down? That wasn't rural area, so should they pay more because they've had a fire there?
I know,
and it was
right?
from downed lines, right? So he's saying again, is okay, if you're living out in a rural area, so let's just take your rights away from you.
Yeah, it's another form of the fire tax.
Yep.
Another way to force people off
another
property
nameless,
and into
faceless
towns.
Bureaucrat thug.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody.
Gosh, get you fired up.
And you do it right at the end of the. And I've got to try and hold on to that.
Oh, my work here is done.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go back into the room and just gnash my teeth. That's one of the good things about this. You know, for my guyism, you know, being a guy, I can do it here and I can vent myself during 2 hours.
That's a male hostility.
It's this male,
thing.
You know, it's toxic. I'm into this toxic masculinity right now. Okay. Anyway, I would just like to say thank you, everybody, for listening. Tomorrow, the sheriff's going to be on.
Yeah,
there's
the sheriff
on.
Guy. Yeah.
And then, you know, on Thursday and Friday, I'm trying to get, like I said, Dr. Malachi to talk about Social Pass. And then Thursday, we're going to talk security and a number of other things with people on how do you keep your house secure. You know, just because we're getting broken into. Maybe other things like how to keep your car secure. I like that. Everybody have a great day. Again, 32 degrees right now, going up to 51 today, but it looks like it's going to be clear. It's the good guys against the bad guys, my friend. Which are you?
And Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR, Shasta Redding. News brought to you by Tobacco and Brews. See their newly remodeled store, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Gonna stand
my News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. New charges have been filed in the special counsel's Russian interference investigation. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
Special counsel Robert Mueller has charged an attorney with lying to federal investigators about his interactions with a former Trump campaign official. A charging document filed in federal court in Washington accuses Alex van der Zwaan of lying to investigators about his interactions with Rick Gates, a longtime business associate of President